Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talk Talks. I am your host, Andrew Kistner, for the Oxford Center Talks. And today, we are talking to Sarah Masters. Now, I think last time she was probably on the podcast, she had a different last name, but she has since been married. And she is one of our speech language pathologists here at the Oxford Center. And we are she's in the process of starting a new program, which has to do with swallowing, which we're going to kind of talk about how that has to do with speech. But we'll get into it. So wanted to sit down with her, wanted to interview her and kind of go over the ins and outs of the program, you know, who might need it, who doesn't need it, and how she can help. So Sarah, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me again.
That's right. So you made it back.
See?
Exactly. You must not have done too bad a job. Everyone always gets so nervous when they sit down with me. I'm like, it's the easiest thing in the world. We're just going to talk.
Yeah.
No big deal.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay, so talk to me. First, give me kind of a brief overview of just speech in general and all the things that it does, because it seems like every, I don't know, couple months, something blows my mind that it's involved in the therapy that it's involved in. Sometimes speech, sometimes occupational or physical, and I just had no idea that that was involved with this. So give me kind of a high level, what all do speech therapists, what all can they do?
Yeah. So a lot of people think that speech only can treat speech and language disorders,
right.
Which is true. We do a lot of that. But the definition of an SLP is actually that we treat, or we assess, diagnose, and treat swallowing disorders, cognitive communication disorders, speech disorders, language disorders, and social language disorders. So anything that falls underneath any of those, because that's also a very large umbrella, because under some of those we have voice disorders, we have phonological disorders, you know, we assess and use AEC a lot, which is, you know, under language. So there's a lot that we do that I don't think that people really realize that that's under us. And one of the big ones is swallowing.
Interesting. So we were talking a couple, I don't know, a few, maybe last week or so about swallowing, and you broke it down for me. Can you do that for the viewers? I mean, it was like, if it's here, it's this, and if it's back, you know, break that down.
Yeah. So there's four phases of swallowing. So you have your oral preparatory stage, which is basically you're chewing your food, you're getting it ready to swallow.
Okay.
And then you have your oral phase, which is when the muscles in your mouth, specifically, you know, like your tongue, start moving your food back to the back of your mouth. And then you have your pharyngeal phase, which is the process of swallowing more. So it's coming into your throat, and it, you know, does all the things. It goes down your throat. Your epiglottis, which is back there, protects your airway, so it's not getting into your airway. And then once it gets through your pharyngeal phase, it's in your esophageal phase, and then ultimately ends up in your stomach.
Right.
So while that's all going on, phases one and two, the oral preparatory stage and oral stage, are both voluntary.
Got it.
Whereas the pharyngeal phase
and
esophageal phase are involuntary. So your body just does those on their own.
Like breathing, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. So talk to me. You also said you kind of explained who's involved in, from a therapy standpoint, in those processes. So who's involved in, from start to finish, somebody gives me a plate of food.
So an occupational therapist is who would work with you from going from the plate and holding the utensil, bringing the food to your mouth, and then as soon as the food is within your mouth, that's when speech comes in.
Awesome. PT involved anywhere in there or no?
You know, I'm sure that they
probably
could do something.
Right. For some,
we'll
some condition or disorder, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So talk to me about some of the conditions that maybe affect somebody in swallowing.
Yeah, so swallowing can be affected by a number of things. A big one is neurological disorders.
Yep. Like Gracie.
Grace, cerebral palsy.
Yep.
Anyone who has a stroke has a chance of having a swallowing disorder.
Okay.
Parkinson's, you can have swallowing disorders, traumatic brain injuries, a lot of people with neurological deficits, and then as well as just aging in general can cause swallowing. Gosh, there's so much that like can cause a swallowing disorder.
So I'm gonna kind of relate this back to what I know just in my life from, from Gracie. So Gracie's one of the big issues that she struggles with is she can swallow, but she doesn't chew. Mm-hmm. So she'll put in a massive bite of whatever and just gulp that bad boy down. So is that something that speech can help with?
So the chewing aspect, yeah. And then, like, for instance, we can cue to take small bites, but ultimately, like, taking smaller bites, that's going to fall more on, like, OT.
Okay.
I know that OT works with Grace for that.
They do. Yes.
But, yeah, with her actually chewing and stuff, that would be more in the speech realm.
All right. And I'm sure you guys do work with her. It's sometimes not good.
Yeah.
She's gotten some things. She's only like almost choked a couple of times, but in general, we try just to cut up all our food. Really small.
Yeah, and that's sometimes the best thing that you can do, especially for kids, because it's hard for them to understand sometimes. Like, why do I have to chew my food?
Right.
You know.
And she's just impatient. Mm-hmm. She's just like, I would rather have all this food in my belly now.
Well, have you ever seen her drink water? She drinks water like she's never had water before in her life.
There's been we've had a lot of people through the years that have mentioned Gracie and drinking. All right, so is it a problem that I choke on my coffee all the time or drink?
All the time?
All quite often.
So there is a amount of coughing that is considered normal. But
I mean, it's not a difficulty. I don't know what I do, but
it's like when somebody says, "Oh, wrong pipe."
Right.
That's
normal.
Your swallowing mechanism failed you.
Yes.
But it can be normal.
Right. Right.
To an extent.
We're hoping.
To an extent.
We're hoping.
Yeah.
It's normal. Okay. So talk to me a little bit, kind of about some of the techniques and that you utilize for somebody. Give me a condition. Give me a technique. You know, what they're having an issue with and how you'd kind of solve that.
Yeah. So a big one is stroke. A lot of patients who are post-stroke have swallowing disorders. Some of the things that we might work on are oral motor exercises as well as pharyngeal strengthening exercises.
Well, I don't know what that means.
So pharyngeal strengthening would be like increasing your muscles, the strength of your muscles in your pharyngeal cavity. And then oral would be working with like your lips, your tongue, the range of motion of your mouth, your jaw muscles, stuff like that. So all of those are included in swallowing.
Okay.
So when you have a stroke and they become weak, your swallowing mechanism becomes weak.
Right.
So some of the exercises that we do, for example, we might have like a tongue depressor and have the patient stick their tongue out onto the tongue depressor as hard as they can for like 5 seconds, do that 10 times. So they're working their tongue muscle.
Right.
And then as well as like some of the pharyngeal ones, you know, having them like hold their tongue and swallow while you're holding their tongue.
Oh, interesting.
The pharyngeal ones are always the ones that get
patients. Because is the pharyngeal, is that the kind of the involuntary?
Yeah, that's one of the involuntary ones. So the pharyngeal and the esophageal are involuntary. But if you have, you know, weak tongue muscle, then you're going to have difficulty getting the food back to the pharyngeal cavity even. So working on all of those. So those are more kind of exercises.
Right.
And then we can also give them kind of compensatory strategies. So a big one might be tucking their chin to kind of help their food not to go back until they're ready to swallow.
That makes sense.
Or tucking it to the side, you know, kind of to help with the same sort of stuff. And then also using a double swallow. So swallowing your food once and then swallowing again right after to help everything that you swallowed get through your pharyngeal cavity and not into your airway.
Interesting. But we don't want it to go in the airway.
Do not want it to go in the airway. And some things that happen, like I said before, your epiglottis protects your airway.
Right.
There can be, you know, spillage when you're having difficulties. So like you could just, your liquid could just go back without you being ready. And if your epiglottis has been
damaged,
some people it just kind of stops working, for lack of a better word, right now.
Right.
And so it might not cover your airway. So we want to work on still protecting your airway by using compensatory strategies. But some of those pharyngeal exercises, that helps to get your epiglottis working again. Because again, it's, you know, all part of the pharyngeal cavity.
Right. And the stuff you have to train, but it's supposed to be involuntary.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like reteaching a kid how to ride a bike in a way. Or teaching a kid how to ride a bike.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you're right, because right now I can just get on a bike. I don't even think about it.
Yeah, so.
My balance takes over, everything's completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you had an injury, you know, yep. if I broke my leg and I had, or even something, you know, neurological, had a traumatic brain injury, getting yep. back on a bike might be a challenge.
Yep. It's, yeah, it's kind of like starting over in a way.
Right. So how do you, dealing with, because obviously we have, you know, at Oxford, we have a wide age range of patients mm-hmm. and cognitive abilities, if you will. So, you know, so we may have a stroke patient that's in their 50s, 60s, but we also have kids, you know, that are 2, 3, and 4 years old mm-hmm. That may have, you know, some swallowing issues and some other complications that make it difficult for them to learn. So what do you do with a child that may not understand, you know, we're going to sit down and we're going to work on swallowing? Just take mm-hmm. Gracie, for example. How do you teach Gracie how to do things the right way?
Yeah, so that's often like a hard thing.
Right.
Because one of the things about swallowing therapy is that obviously we want them to be cognitively
right.
able to follow directions and to be able to understand what we're doing with them.
Right.
But with kids like Gracie, sometimes we can just model for them.
Oh, okay.
And maybe they'll get the hang of it receptively. They could understand it. But yeah, that is a hard one because, you right. know,
you can't just put a tongue to start
yeah, can't just
put a
tongue and say, hey, right. stick out your tongue and stuff. But that's why like stuff like cutting up her food really well is important
right.
because she's not understanding that she needs to chew her food. Right. And even if we're showing her,
right.
she's like, well, why are you chewing? Like, why are you doing that to me?
Right.
Why are you sitting there going?
Yes, she actually will do that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she'll hear it. So if you go, mm-hmm. she'll hear it and start doing it.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that we could connect those dots.
Yeah. There are some things, like with pediatrics, like especially like working on oral motor, I've used like suckers in the past
oh, okay.
to get them to move their tongues where I want them, because then they're finding that like sweet flavor.
Right.
So kind of increasing their movements with that. But yeah, it is hard when they're not able to follow directions
yeah,
more.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. So what are some of the other conditions that, and kind of how you treat them? So we did stroke. What are some other ones that you see most common? My goal in getting some of the conditions down and how you treat them is so that, you know, people viewing, you mm-hmm. know, may go, oh, that person could help me.
Yeah. Parkinson's is another big one.
Oh, interesting.
So people who have Parkinson's oftentimes have a decrease in cognition, a decrease in their speech, more so like the loudness of their voice.
Right.
They have a lot more voice difficulties, but also like their swallowing begins to decrease as well. So that just happens to go with their neurological condition.
Right.
And it kind of presents itself in the same way as stroke, where, you know, their muscles are just getting weaker. They also are having more difficulty moving. Because, you know, movement is a big one in Parkinson's, too. Same thing with traumatic brain injury. If the nerves that are involved in swallowing, if those become damaged from your injury, then that could
right.
also cause difficulty in swallowing. So a lot of the time we treat the same way.
Okay.
Just based off, like, the exercises, the compensatory strategies, but each case is different.
Sure.
So if, you know, say a dementia patient came in with swallowing difficulties, that would depend on if they're still able to follow directions,
right.
If they're able to comprehend what I'm saying still. And same thing with a traumatic brain injury patient or a stroke patient. You know, what is their cognitive level
right.
to understand what I'm telling them about swallowing?
Yeah.
Because cognition does really coincide with
sure.
being able
with any
to
therapy,
do
you know?
The swallowing therapy. But that's when the compensatory strategies come in more, is, you know,
right.
taking small bites, cutting up food smaller, you know, having them take sips in between their bites to help, you know, get
right.
the food down and everything like that.
Right.
So it really just depends on the person that
right.
comes in.
Right. So I remember the last time we did a podcast, and the reason I wanted to do the podcast is because it kind of blew my mind
mm-hmm.
With who you were working with. I was watching, and you were, I think it was a stroke patient, and you were doing like sequencing. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, they can talk fine. Why are you even, and you blew my mind by saying, oh, we're working on, you know, neural pathways and connecting in the brain what's going on. Does that Can you translate that, or does that same effect happen in, when you're teaching somebody swallowing?
Yeah, to an extent. It's the same thing, you know, when there's an injury or a neurological condition involved, the same thing has happened as their brain is no longer sending that communication to their body of what they want their body to do. So, for example, how I was talking about how the pharyngeal phase and the esophageal phase are involuntary, you know, that's hard to retrain an involuntary movement of the body.
Right.
But doing the exercises, like for the pharyngeal, to strengthen those muscles back up, and then also referring out to esophageal, because as an SLP, we can't technically treat esophageal swallowing disorders. We can provide compensatory strategies, and then we can refer out to providers who are more able to do that. So, like an ENT or gastro doctor, you know. But so it's kind of the same thing, whereas we're reteaching their muscles to kind of do what we want them to do in order to complete a safe swallow.
Right. So how often do you work with other, since you kind of brought that up, other therapies like, you know, OT and, you know, maybe having to refer to an ENT or gastroenterologist or whatever? How often does that happen?
So it really depends on what you see symptom-wise.
Okay.
So say that somebody was having a lot of, like, GERD, so like reflux type stuff.
Oh, okay.
If that was happening, then we would refer to a gastro doctor.
Got it.
If somebody was having difficulty getting food onto their spoon, then we would refer to an OT. So it really depends, again, on the person. Okay. But I would say, like, especially, you know, with those disorders that it's the muscles are weakened, they are kind of struggling with like ADL stuff, so like everyday life, it's probably going to involve OT as well.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And you probably what discover all this in the assessment and kind of refer to OT. Luckily we have them in the building, and then maybe to those other specialists if needed.
Yeah. Awesome. So there's like swallowing studies that are diagnostic, and that's more so where we would find out if like a referral was needed, because it's more diagnostic.
Okay,
like we can't see what's going on in here. You can tell us that you have reflux and we can refer you out, but you're probably going to want to get like a diagnostic study as well.
That makes sense.
Which we can refer them to, or the ENT we can refer them to, or the gastro doctor can refer them to.
Very cool. Well, hey, it's been cool sitting down with you and learning about this. It seems like, I mean, PT I've known a lot about because we've been in PT. We've been in speech, but I had no idea kind of how big speech therapy was. And it, I like sitting down with you because it really opens my my knowledge center up, if you will, on what all it's involved with.
Yeah, well, I enjoy talking about speech because I think that it's, I think that there's a lot that people don't know about it. And I think a lot of patients are like, well, why do I need speech?
We hear that quite frequently.
Yeah.
The nurses, they know obviously a lot more than I do, and they'll refer, they'll say, I think you need speech therapy. And people are like, what? I don't know why I don't need speech therapy.
Our speech language pathologist is not quite the right name for our profession.
No, it really should be more comprehensive as to what you do.
Yeah.
So, well, hey, thanks for being here. I hope we were able to help a few out there. Thank you for watching this episode of Talk Talks. We will see you guys next week.